You're listening to Mornings with Lou on WTSQ 88.1 FM, The Status Quo. And on the phone with me, I have Tim Peacock. Hello, Tim. Why don't you just introduce yourself real quick?
Hey, Lou. Thanks for having me. My name's Tim Peacock, and I am the founder and the artistic director of the Nelsonville Music Festival in Nelsonville, Ohio.
Cool. Okay. So how did Nelsonville get its start, and what makes it different than other music festivals?
Well, we started the festival. This is our 20th year. So, however, it really would be our 22nd year, if not for 2 years off because of COVID. Mm-hmm. So we started in 2005, and at the time it was NMF, or the Nelsonville Music Festival, is a production of Stewart's Opera House, which is a historic small theater in Nelsonville, Ohio, also. And Stewart's Opera House, I was the executive director, and at the time we decided to start an outdoor festival with the premise of raising money for the nonprofit to help us do more things in our community. So the festival was born out of this idea that we could have a larger audience buy tickets for an event compared to inside the theater that had 400 seats. Mm-hmm. And more tickets would mean, if we were successful, we would raise more money to help us help sustain us throughout the year. And so what Stewart's does is we do a whole lot of arts education programming, where we take kids into schools and bring artists into the theater and bus kids into the theater and those types of things, and after school music programs. So the festival was born as a fundraiser for what we do, which is mostly arts education. And it still, in some degree, is its purpose. If all goes well and it is financially successful, it raises money for Stewart's Opera House year round.
Cool. Okay, so you do art education and you bring it back to the community. So how else does Nelsonville and Stewart's Opera House factor into the festival's identity?
Well, really, it is one and the same. Like I said, it is a production of Stewart's. So I'm actually employed by Stewart's Opera House. Mm-hmm. The primary people who run the festival are all employed by the Opera House. And so the Nelsonville Music Festival is just a production of us. It is by far our biggest event of the year. So the ethos of the festival is just sort of a bleed over of the ethos of Stewart's, just on a larger scale. We have a big kids and family area at the festival. But more than the money part that I mentioned earlier, I believe the festival has taken on a life of its own, and it's just such an important community event that happens every year, where, you know, people come and gather and attend this festival, and it really, the people are what create with the Nelsonville Music Festival. By people, I mean the bands and the mm-hmm. artists and the audience too.
Yeah.
I would have never guessed. I didn't have a plan for 20 years later when we started in 2005 at all. Funny enough, we've been doing these retrospective posts since it's our 20th, looking back at the years. And I saw some of those early years, looking at photos and stuff. And I was like, how in the hell did we pull this off? It doesn't. Because I often still feel like imposter syndrome, like we're not quite sure what we're doing. But back then, we really didn't know what we were doing.
And you had some great guests early on. I saw that you had Willie Nelson, in 2008, was it?
Yeah, Willie was. So the festival started as a one-day event. And for the first 3 years, it was just a one-day event, sort of like from 3 in the afternoon until midnight or something. And then because Stewart's is a nonprofit, we have a board of directors who are all volunteers, members of our community. And I went to them and I said, you know, this is a lot of work to put on this big bake sale, so to speak. Mm-hmm. I don't think it would, if we turned it into a weekend festival, I don't think it's three times as much work. I think it's probably 1.5 times as much work. But we could potentially make, you know, we could sell more brownies, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So
especially so with the Willie Nelson.
Yes, exactly. So Willie was actually, I think, in 2009. So the first 3-day festival was in 2008. And I think the Avett brothers were our headliner before they were what became the Avett brothers, I guess.
Yeah.
And then the next year I was like, we have to go bigger because it's still too much work and there's just not the return. And so that's when we went after Willie Nelson. And somehow I booked Willie Nelson. I don't know what his booking is. I didn't have, I was terrified. That was the largest artist I had ever worked with.
Yeah.
And I was a huge Willie fan.
Of course.
And I didn't, you know, yeah, who isn't? Or if you're not, then maybe something's wrong. I don't know. But yeah, so Willie was the largest artist we ever had. But it seemed fitting. Let's bring Willie Nelson to Nelsonville. And somehow, again, it worked. You know, like the cards were in our favor and it worked and people came and it was amazing. And we went home happy.
Yeah. So I was looking at past years and you said that like Willie Nelson, like, so you got like kind of older greats like Randy Newman and John Prine, may he rest in peace. But you've also gotten like St. Vincent and Mac DeMarco and Japanese Breakfast. Which was there a band or a performer or a guest or someone that you had on stage that you were like, how in the world is this person here?
I think that happens every year, maybe. The administrative work of running a festival is just exactly that. It's a lot of just dumb grunt work of sending emails and making phone calls and stuff. And you get so sort of in that grind of doing that stuff that it doesn't feel exceptional. It doesn't feel, it's just doing this job that I do. And then at the event, all of a sudden there's this so-and-so is on stage and there's 5,000 people in the audience. And you're like, whoa, how did this happen? But I think, you know, maybe that booking really sticks with me because it was a whole different level from my standpoint. And for me personally, as a music promoter, it just was the next step up of promoting music and bringing music around. So Willie stands out, but there's so many. I think that there's just so many. I love the legends. Like for a while, we got sort of pigeonholed into being people thinking we were a country music festival because. Mm-hmm. I had Willie and I had Loretta and I had George Jones and I love that old classic country. And I like George Jones to me is one of the greatest singers of all time, but I also love the Flaming Lips and Mac DeMarco and St. Vincent and there's just endless stuff. You know, we've had like really heavy rock and roll bands like Earthless and Budos Band and, like I like all kinds of different music, and what I want the Nelsonville Music Festival to be is, somewhat eclectic and not just this one thing. There are plenty of jam band festivals, for example. Mm-hmm. I actually hardly ever book a jam band just because you can go to entire jam band festivals. Mm-hmm. And enough of your question. I think Willie was a big one.
So it's evolved.
John Prine was really important one for me because I'm a lifelong fan of his music and that was just gorgeous. And you mentioned Randy Newman. I just am a huge Randy Newman fan too. But Yeah. And I'm not a fan of everyone I book, but those few that we just named, I'm really, you know, I have all of their music that I'm aware of. And
yeah.
And same with Loretta. Like, Loretta, gosh, I just love that stuff. So I've been really lucky. I've been really lucky to be able to do some of these things in our small town, in our small neck of the woods. So
yeah, and it's a real small town. Like, I come from Charleston, West Virginia, which in many people's eyes is a small town, but when you go further in, and it gets smaller and smaller. One thing I wanted to hit on was like how the festival has evolved. So it's been 20 years, and I'm sure it's taken a lot of different forms. We've already mentioned a couple of it being like a one-day festival. Now it's a weekend festival. And do you feel like, when did you feel like you were starting to get kind of pigeonholed into the country music? Because that's one thing I really noticed when I was looking through just the whole registrar of performers. There's all kinds. And like this year you have apparently the PSYOP Geese like coming, which is huge.
Yeah.
So it's really evolved.
That's a whole interesting conversation all on its own. Well, you know, I think truthfully, Lou, we had Willie, you know, the very first year, the headliner of the festival, the very first year, it was a one-day thing on the downtown square, and the Dirty Dozen Brass Band from New Orleans was our headliner. Mm-hmm. Very much not country.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can't even think of who was the next year. But we had Willie, and then I think we had Loretta, and then I booked George. I think after Willie and Loretta, people started thinking it was, mm-hmm. oh, this must be a country music festival. Even though if they would have looked down the bill at the rest of the artists, there were different genres of music represented, you know, a lot of them. So the next year, I intentionally booked the Flaming Lips to break the country music stereotype that people started thinking we were. And that was a harsh swing for some, but it was amazing.
Yeah, I bet it was a well worth swing.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing.
Last year was my first year, and what I really, really liked about it was that there were people that were like, yeah, I grew up like down the street, or I'm from Athens, and then you had like MJ Letterman, who was huge. How do you get this mix of emerging artists and established names? How does that look when you're going through these people? Does that make sense?
Oh, geez. Yeah, okay. I think I understand. I think you're asking me like, how do I do this? What's my booking process?
How do you balance it? And how do you, like, I like that it's well-rounded, you know? Because I feel like some music festivals, it's like big, 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 or small, 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 small. Where this one is like big and small, and it's just so well-balanced.
Thanks. Again, I think a lot of that is somewhat lucky, but I guess after 20 years, I can't just keep saying it's luck.
No, I think you got some strategy.
Yeah, but I don't know how to describe that strategy if I do. And I'm not just trying to be obtuse. I don't. It's sort of an organic process of thinking about some things that I would like to see happen. And then oftentimes, you know, like after doing this for 20 plus years, you have relationships with booking agents and management companies. And so someone will send you, an agent will send me like 10 artists on their booking roster that they would like to have booked, or at least for me to consider booking. And so sometimes ideas come from what we call submissions from agents or from bands themselves, recommendations from friends, you know, colleagues, whatever. And the truth is, I also really think the most interesting part of the festival, or any festival I go to, are the things that I don't know. And finding new music is really important to me. And I think there's a large contingent. Thankfully, this is another place I'm really lucky. Thankfully, there is a large part of our audience that also loves that. So they come to discover new artists. And many times those artists are things that I may have recently discovered. Like last year, there was this band from England called The Bug Club.
And oh, yeah.
I don't even remember how I started listening to them, but it was one of those things that anyone can do. They showed up in my like YouTube feed or on, you know, Spotify or somewhere. And I was like, what is this? And I listened to more and more and more and more. And it's like, holy cow. Next thing you know, I was obsessed. And they were the first band I booked last year.
Oh, cool.
Because I was like, I want this band to come. But they're not, no one really, they weren't famous by any means. But yeah, so sometimes that's how it happens. And there's not a great plan of like, let's have, you know, 12% should be, you know, mm-hmm. well-known, 17%. There's none of that. It's just sort of how it falls together.
Yeah.
And it never falls, and it never really falls together how you think it will, because you have, you know, there's so many, the end product who ends up on the poster is not what you thought was going to be at the beginning of the process, at least usually, because you have a conversation with an agent or a manager for sometimes months, and you think that this one artist is going to work and come and be there, and then schedules change and it doesn't happen or whatever. So it just is constantly a changing work in progress.
Mm-hmm.
So it itself sort of dictates some of how it ends up in the end.
Who are some of the people that you're excited to see this year that are not on like the top of the bullet, but like kind of lower?
Yeah, yeah. Well, my bug club this year was this woman guitar player named Gwyneth Raymond.
Oh my gosh, she has the song like Jack Parson Blues that I just love. I'm like, yes, Jack Parson would be building his like crazy rockets and stuff, and he would be feeling this way.
Yes, yeah, she's so good. And like if you like John Fahey and Jack Rose and some of those other like sort of like what do you call it, primitive guitar players.
Mm-hmm.
It's not primitive by any means, but I think that's the name that has been applied on occasion. But anyhow, Gwyneth is, I'm excited that she's there. I don't know if we've announced this yet. This guy, Jeffrey Lewis, it hasn't been announced yet. Are we going to edit any of this?
Yeah.
Yeah. Pull that part out. Yeah. I'm excited about Gwyneth, and there's a bunch of other people that I'm right now drawing a blank because I'm driving and turning in traffic. But
I'm excited to see Styrofoam Winos. I didn't get to see them last year, and I'm happy to see that they're going to be there again this year because there was some conflict with artists that I wanted to see last year. So that's one I'm
I really love what they're doing. It's just such a like a, I don't know how to describe, I'm not really good at describing music because I think it would always be incorrect, but I love their sound and their version of rock and roll.
Yeah.
You know, like it's this loose but awesome fun sound of
A lot of good names.
A lot of good names, and I'm completely blank.
That's okay.
Right now. There's 40 to 50 bands who play the festival every year, and right now I'm just completely blank.
Well, I'm so looking forward. When I saw that Wednesday was the headliner, I knew I was going already, but I kid you not, I just like leaped and screamed because I went to go see them in Philly in November, so that's like a 6-hour drive. But I was like, I have to see them on this tour. They are like, they put out my favorite album of the year. So I can't wait to see Wednesday. That's insane. Like insane to me that's who's going to be there.
That's awesome. Well, you know, you mentioned three, you mentioned MJ Lenderman, who played last year, and you mentioned Geese, and you mentioned Wednesday. Geese actually played Nelsonville in 2023. I booked them then, before the PSYOP.
Part.
I actually had them confirmed in 2022, and they had to cancel because they were going to a European gig came up or something that they couldn't say no to. Wednesday and MJ played in, I think, 23 or 24. I can't remember, a couple years ago. So those were all return people coming back to the festival.
Oh, that's awesome. So you have like this nice rapport with these people that they like want to come back to this little neck of the woods.
I think so. I think we've been really fortunate that because the festival is not like, you know, it's pretty small. We sell about 3,500 tickets, but once you count all the volunteers and staff and band members and guests of bands, it's about, you know, around 5,000 to 6,000 people at the most, at its height. And it's not like, you know, it's not like some big giant festival where you have to walk 20 minutes to get to one of the stages. And there's not a Dorito stage or Verizon stage. You know, it's not, it's pretty, I guess, grassrootsy-ish. And I think why people really love it and it makes it special is that the people that attend, they're into it. They're into like the music. People are coming there for the music. They're not coming there for the party scene, or they're not coming there to like, you know, just to be seen. No one comes to Nelsonville, Ohio to be seen. but it's really genuine music lovers who are happy to be there. And then that vibe is super contagious.
Yeah.
And we hear it every year, people saying like, it was just like the most laid back and nice feeling festival I've ever been to. So we're really lucky that I think that, again, that's the audience that sort of transfers that, the spirit of that to, and it does become somewhat contagious. And I think if you're a touring band like Wednesday or whoever it might be, it's a nice relief to come play a smaller festival.
Yeah.
I remember Andrew Bird one year from stage. Yeah. He said from stage, he had just played Coachella, and he said like, man, Nelsonville, Ohio, this is 100 times better than Coachella or something like that. I think going to play those big giant festivals is kind of a pain in the ass.
I can imagine so. Yeah.
Yeah. Just for the band, even, it's just like cumbersome to get in and like make like, where's everyone going? And they're strict. Like, I got to get to the stage at this exact time or you're going to miss your sound check. And we're just a little more, because we're small, we're able to be a little more flexible and it's just real people trying to do something cool together.
Yeah. When I was there last year, I was at the dining area under the tents and my friends and I were talking about state birds and, we were like, what's the state bird of Ohio? And then I looked to the guy to my left and I was like, what's the state bird of Ohio? And then we got in a conversation about that. And then we went to like,
did he know?
Yeah,
it was the cardinal.
Yeah. Actually. So it went like this. He was like, I don't know. And the guy across from him was like, it's the cardinal. And then, and then the other guy was like, oh really? And he's like, yeah, they're prevalent. But
what's the state bird of West Virginia, Luke?
It's the cardinal.
Wait, what?
Yeah. I know, that's why we're like, how can this be the same? But with the West Virginia state bird is the cardinal.
Oh, that's weird.
They're prevalent.
I didn't know that. They are prevalent. One of us could take the robin because they're also prevalent.
I know.
Prevalent.
But those guys, they were... they're in the band Gardener and we had like no idea who we were talking to. And then we went to, the show and we're like, oh my God, is that, and I was like, and I was kind of teasing them. And so I was like, is that the guy I was like dragging in the mud because of birds?
That's funny.
Yeah, so that's all to say. It is, like, it's really tight-knit, and it's cool. Like, you can just, like, look to your left and your right, and there's just people that you saw on stage 20 minutes ago, and they're just having their post-stage beer and just wanting to have fun.
Yeah, it's even our biggest artists, I think, with some exceptions, like, I'm sure Willie or... But even, like, our biggest artists, I remember one year, not many years ago, Big Thief played. They headlined one of the nights. But they're huge Michael Hurley fans. And, like, so they came down to the Creekside stage, our smallest stage, and they sat down on the dirt right in front of the stage to watch Michael Hurley set. You know, like, right, like, they weren't backstage. They were just out in the audience with the public because it's not... It is. It's just chill.
It is so relaxed and chill. And I guess that kind of pulls me to the last question I wanted to ask you in the interview that we sounds like we've covered, but just I personally want to ask you, what do you want people to leave the festival still talking about?
Oh. You know, without getting too woo-woo. I think for me, at least, something like the Nelsonville Music Festival, and it's not like extra special in itself, but something like a music festival or live music experience or any kind of like visual art experience where you go into this space and you experience something that makes you escape is one word for it, or maybe just to not, you're not thinking about anything except what's happening in front of you. At the very basis, I think that's why something like a music festival is important, especially in this world that where the day-to-day it's sometimes hard to escape all the heavy stuff that's happening around us. And sometimes if we're lucky enough, you have an experience at a show where you're brought to tears or you're like really... It really transforms something about you that you carry with you much longer than just while you're standing there in a field. And if that happens, I think we really did a great job at helping create this place where that can happen. The artists and the musicians are the ones who really do it, but we create the space for people to have those experiences. Mm-hmm. And if people walk away with something like that, I think we did pretty good.
Yeah, and that's, we were talking a little bit before we started the interview, but when I got to see Will Oldham at the Creekside stage, and he was doing Michael Hurley covers and doing different things, and he asked the audience to sing with him, and I think about that moment all of the time. Just talking about it now will give me chills.
So good. It gave me chills, too. I'm driving.
It was one of the most special moments of my whole life, and I'm not being dramatic. Yes. I'm not just blowing smoke. That was just so communal. Nelsonville really can do that for people.
That's really cool. Like, you know, when you're an older person, you're going to remember, you know, 20 years from now, you're going to still tell that story.
Yeah.
And that's pretty amazing.
Of course. We'll hold him till I die. I'm going to see him as many times as I can.
I invited him back this year, but he's going to be up in, I think, Port Townsend or something, and he couldn't do it. So I was trying to convince him to come repeatedly.
I know.
Not yet.
My fingers are crossed. My fingers and toes are crossed to see if he'll come back. Well, thank you so much for talking to me. I've been talking to Tim Peacock. We're talking all things Nelsonville Music Festival. To wrap up, do you just want to tell people when the festival is? It's obviously Nelsonville, Ohio, but what can they look forward to and where can they go to get all this information?
Oh, yeah. Our website is nelsonvillefest.org. This year, our dates are the third weekend in June 18th through 20th. And all the info and tickets and stuff are on the site. And I believe there's still some spaces to volunteer. If sometimes, you know, music festivals are expensive and we know that, and we try hard to keep them as affordable as possible. But it's real money. And if that's a problem or if it's cost prohibitive for someone, like, we encourage people to come and sign up for volunteering because there's, we need the help. It really helps the festival when people volunteer, and you work 12 hours over the course of the weekend or even leading up or cleaning up. And then you get a festival pass in exchange. So I think it's a win-win if people want to do that too. And all that info is on the site.